The first over here, the other parsha. So he grapples with the name of the parsha. So we're translating the word pikudei. Usually is it's lashon of some type of a reckoning, some type of a calculation. See, there's problems over here. There are difficulties. Yes. Oh, that's frustrating. Okay, give me 1 second. Okay, that's better. Okay, so he grapples with the words, meaning of the words. The general way of taking it, according to mean the computation of the gifts received, the citation of the uses to which they are put, which that's what the parsha does, makes a tabulation of the X amount of gold, X amount of silver, etc. This is what it was used for. So that seems to be the name of the parsha. But there are difficulties in taking it this way of taking it. They're surmountable. For both the reckoning up and the information regarding the uses are extremely incomplete. The total of the gold and the copper are given, are recorded. Silver, so we said before, we know that there, each person gave a shekel of silver. And besides that, people gave silver as a donation independent of that. That's not calculated, that's not tabulated here. So the gold is given a total amount of the gold, the total amount of the silver, and the silver, of the copper, and of the silver, we said, well, the Masas HaShekel added up to X amounts. And the silver which was given as an adava, we have no calculation. We're not, that's, only the total of receiving the half shekels of consensus is given, but not that which is according to given as free will gifts. Of the amount of other materials, no mention at all is made, and of gold, only the amount that came in is given. No calculus of the usage to which it was allotted. It says, but the silver is used for that donum. Okay. It doesn't say what the gold was used for. So if that's the point over here, in addition to all of this, there's no other occasion when we find the word, meaning of the word prakat, to be a final reckoning. Elsewhere, we find, you only find that you use reference to numbers of people. In such connection, it has the fundamental idea of pakar, which means, he translates over here to think, okay, which I'm not sure what that means. So we spoke about the first talk today. A begida is a concept of an appointment. A pakir is a person who is appointed to a position of authority. So counting klaisos as the pekudim. The midrash is referred to as the chumash of the chumash apikudim. It's the chumash of the pikudim of the countings, because in those countings there was also designations. They're part of the shevet. These are the levim. This is what the levim are going to do. The shvatim have a certain way that they travel. They're given. It's part of a role position. You're counted towards a position, towards a role. That's what pikudim means. But it's never used other than when you're appointing something. You're counting towards an appointment, you're discussing the individuals. Here it's referring to items. So he grapples with that. Now he says that he sees that the concept of Pekita could also mean along the lines of the idea of thinking. Okay. He's going to modify that a little bit to the next part, next sentence or two. For example, Pekudei Ho'edo, it talks about the Pekudei Ho'edo, the people around the Pekudei Ho'edo, are all those people who are to be thought of as under the conception of Adam, whom the Adam comprises, all those who belong to the community who are members make up the community. Because they are the people which are counted towards being part of an Adam. So that they're part of this group. According to that, Pikudei Mishkan would be everything which is thought of in the idea of Mishkan, that which belongs to the Mishkan, and which essentially constitutes the Mishkan. This would be all the committed parts and contents of the Mishkan. Pikudei Mishkan means we're creating a new entity called Mishkan, and these are the parts that which compromises the Mishkan. As they are all summarized under the one designation for Kudeya Mishkan, their essential meaning and importance for the Mishkan is established. Not one of them can be regarded as being concerned with the total purpose of the Mishkan as Mishkan Avedus. So, Elu Kudeya Mishkan, Mishkan Avedus. The Mishkan is Mishkan Avedus. So, you would be forgiven for making a mistake that the Oren is part of Mishkan Avedus, because the Oren represents the Luchos Avedus. And everything else doesn't play a role towards making the Mishkan a Mishkan Avedus, the dwelling place of the Avedus. Saying, no, everything which you're going to list, all items you're going to list, are part of that which compromises the Mishkan. And without them, the Mishkan is missing. That which you want to take the Mishkan and make the Mishkan into Mishkan Avedus. You need the chatzar, you need the mizbeach, you need the shulchan, you need the menorah, you need everything. Without that, even, arguably, there's a hierarchy of more important, less important. That's a mistake. Everything is important. Everything plays that role of playing. It's being given a role in this greater reality of creating a Mishkan. The Mishkan should become a Mishkan Avedus. So now, it is in this sense that the Sapurno takes the meaning of the words. So he understands the following. Passing Sapurno, the Sapurno says that what's special about the Mishkan is you look at the Mishkan compared to the Mikdash. Mishkan is significantly smaller, significantly less elaborate, less precious metals, etc. We're saying this is what was used to create make the Mishkan, the Mishkan Haidus, and it was only this, as opposed to the Mikdash. They did da 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 da, and it didn't have the same level of Shekhinah. So it's giving us this contrast. You think that maybe the way you create Shekhinah is by the elaborate creation that you make and by the amount of precious metals you put into it. No, just this, these pekudim is enough to make the Mishkan to Mishkan Haidus. See, the total sum of the precious metals spent on this Mishkan is mentioned to show how small this total is in comparison to the treasure spent on the later temple. Yet no other temple achieved the importance in heaven that this simple, modest temple tent reached. In it alone was the presence of the Shekhinah visibly shown by the cloud of the glory of God. It alone never fell into the hands of the enemy. Basically, there wasn't an onan there. Or if it was, it was not the Kodesh Kodesh. It wasn't visible to Klal Yisrael. In the Mishkan, it was visible. Etc. Then he continues the contracts. The contrasts. So the buildings of the second temple even lacked that which is the real visible inhabitant of the temple, the Ark of the Testimony and the Rambatumit. So little does splendor mean to the real nature of the Rambatumit. So the real nature of the temple. So splendor is not this bechlal at all in any way, shape, or form does not define divine presence. But let us add too that the Mishkan was the only temple which was established completely out of the voluntary sacrifices and devotion of the nation. The other ones, Shlomo HaMelech made a mass. He forced people to contribute, to work. This way of taking the meaning of Pekudei, it would only be the meaning of Eila, which would remain to be considered. So now that we've worked out what Pekudei means, so the Pekudim is, these things are going to compromise the items that are necessary to make the Mishkan into Mishkan HaMikdash. So the concept of playing a role exists. Who's Eile? These are the Pekudim. Who's these? What are the theses? As a rule, at the beginning of a chapter, the rule refers to that which follows and not to that which has preceded. But what preceded is also part of the Mishkan. It's difficult to be explained, so he shows it's all one long hemshach. So it comes out that Eila stands in the middle of the description of the building of sanctuary. The thing to which it refers can be considered also as those which follow. It's what's before and what's after is all part of it. The Rishon of Kol says that these are the things which are to be reckoned up for the Mishkan of Testimony, which is designed for it at the command of Moses. Gather became the service of the Levites, fine. Latin of the paragraph. But this way of taking our verse, the following two verses also fall appropriately into place. The mention of the total impression where committed works, the two masters are named and whose work the whole may well be considered. So it talks about Yisomer and Aaron Akoyim. So you have Aaron and you have Yisomer, who was charged with all of the Levim. There was also part of this process, appointing these individuals to run the Mishkan. So we're not talking necessarily the making of the Mishkan, but these are the components which you put together, you generate the Mishkan when it comes from being a Mishkan to being a Mishkan HaMikdash. Okay, so one of the points that it says to me over here, there's a word from the Sefer Kehelas Yitzchok. It says over a word, the Talmud of the Goyim. I'm trying to remember if he says it from the Goyim. No, he says it from Chaim Lashner. So, Volozhin was the first national yeshiva. Till then, basically, you had each rabbi in his town. When a person was of stature, would have a yeshiva, would have a few bachurim sitting learning in his town. The idea that this was a yeshiva for like the whole Medina, like people were coming there from all over, that was what's unique about the Volozhin yeshiva. He said it established a quota system, how many boys can come in from each settle, each town, whatever, each section. He also had fundraisers, gathering, you know, bringing in money from these areas, because now that his yeshiva is servicing them, they were contributing. So they had, the way the story goes, they had a person that was the mashulach for the yeshiva, who go from place to place, raising money for the yeshiva. So at one point in time, he comes from Chaim Volozhiner, and he says, you know, he travels, you know, in the lowest class wagon, wearing the old clothes. Maybe people don't take notice of him. If he wear nicer clothes and come in a little more mechubadik, people would give more to yeshiva. So Chaim Volozhiner accepted that argument and gave him a higher stipend. One of their major donors stopped giving. And so Chaim Volozhiner sent a message to this individual, like, next time you're Volozhiner, I'd like to hear, you know, please stop by. I want to talk to you and hear what the issue is. So the person says, eventually that happened, explain. Till now, when I saw what your mashulach, the way he traveled and what he wore, I knew all my money was going to yeshiva. Now my money's going to cover this guy's car fare, you know, fancy wagon and then fancy clothes. Not interested. Shulchan Rosh answered, it says by Bezalel that he knew how to be lachshav machshavos. So the word machshavos, the way Rashi translates it, doesn't mean the language of thoughts. It means it was this type of a certain type of weaving called, it was called Maisa Chershev, a certain type of weaving. He knew how to do that weaving. Rav Asher translated it as Lachshav Machshavos literally. The Bezalel was able to know with a level of thought, of purity of thought, that you give your item. So gold, which was given with the most pure of thought, went into the Aron Kodesh. And gold was given less pure of thought, went to the Shulchan. Even less, till, you know, they used you for the extra keli case, you know. So it says, if you're giving it pure, with the right thoughts, the money will go to the right place in Yeshiva. And if not, it's going to the low, you know, it's going to the toilet paper. You know, it's not covering the cost of the lighting of Beis Medrash or paying for the Shiva salary. It's covering, that's up to how pure your thought is. So it has nothing to do with this guy's making more money or less money. It's irrelevant to where your money is going to be used. So what a person is saying, the person is coming and saying, so okay. So the guy says, okay, my gold, my copper went to like the outermost spike of the chotzer, you know. And his copper, it went to the kier, you know. It went to the, you know, it was used for the adonim for the entrance into the Mishkan. I'm less chashuv than him. I am less valuable than him. My contribution didn't make as much of a difference. He said, that's a mistake. All of these things, every single thing which contributes to making a Mishkan into Mishkan Avedus. Everything plays that role. So whether the person is giving it with greater Kedusha, lesser Kedusha, he's more chashuv, he's less chashuv, he's bigger tzaddik, smaller tzaddik, he gives more money, gives less money. It's all irrelevant. Everybody plays a role. Somewhere along the line, you have to differentiate. We do recognize the fact that the Aron Kodesh is more Kodesh than this Yosein, which is used to keep the Kloyim and the Chotzer in place. Maskim. But without the Kloyim, you cannot fulfill the correct, well, the chotzer, the Aron can't play its role either. So in a human body, we argue that the brain is more important than a person's finger or than his arm. Yeah, but without an arm, the person is extremely compromised. Losing an arm is better than losing a brain. Agreed. It's very hard to function without a brain. But at the same time, so to say, the person, listen, you know, if the person's forced to quote unquote make that trade off, see, choose one over the other. If he doesn't look and say, well, the brain is really me. My arm is just like that's like an outside thing. The arm is that's part of who you are, just as much as the brain is. And it's part of what you accomplish, who you are, your personality. That all of the body is encompassed in that, not just the brain. So every part of the Mishkan is encompassed in this process of Pekudei. So the person who's relegated, as it were, to like the least significant role, it doesn't make a difference. They're all Pekudei Mishkan. That's what jumps out at me from this piece of Rehersh. And there's a beautiful thought that Shiva says, the Me'il had these bells on the bottom. So Chazal say that the point of it made this sounds. So if there are errors, before you walk into a room, or you walk into a building, you indicate that you're coming in, those Derech Eretz to the people which are there. So that represents the idea that the mill, as he would walk, it would make a sound. So as he's coming in to the Kodesh Kedoshim, he's making the sound. not Kodesh Kedoshim, but Kodesh. We give this order a little bit different Kinech. He said, this sound of the tinkle of the meal, number one, it was a tinkle. Number two, it was all the time. Every step that the Kohen Gadol took, it tinkled. So it wasn't just before he entered into a building that it made that sound. It made that sound all the time. So what's the idea which is being hinted to in that? He said, every action that you do creates a tinkle. It's not a loud, screaming statement, but it makes an impact. Every step that you take does something. It might be minimal, but it does something. So the Kohen Gadol is representative of the good in Klal Yisrael. Your actions might be seemingly insignificant. It's just a slight accomplishment. It's just a little tickle of a bell. But yeah, it's a tickle of a bell. So the process of the milas of the Mishkan was it was able to confer onto the Kohen Gadol, but give the message that every action we do has value. Every action we do is accomplishing something. Every action we do is building something. And every person, whatever they contribute, is building something greater. So Rebbe Meir's Lach Tzitzel says a word. Famous Medrash says that Ilu Yada Ruvain, had Ruvain known the Torah is going to write, Mishmar Ruvain, yes, Limu Yodam, that Ruvain saved Yosef. Had Ruvain known that the Torah is going to write that, he would have taken Yosef on his shoulders and brought him back home. Had Aaron known the Torah is going to write that the Torah is going to write about him, that he's going out to greet Moshe, but he sees you and he's happy. He would have went out with music. So he went out to greet Moshe. He would have done it with a marching band. Ilu yada bayas, the Torah is going to write that he took he gave her this six little measures of whatever measure it means, the shot, what it means, the small amount of kernels, he would have given her fattened geese. So that's the medrash. Then the medrash says, "Achshav mi kosev umi kosev." And now, who writes and who signs off on it? Elio kosev b'melech Mashiach is kosev. That's the end of the medrash. That's not as well known that part. So, what's going on in this medrash? So, if Reuven had known that the journalists are there and they're going to be writing up his story, so he would have done it a little more, a little more effort. If Aaron knew that this is going to be recorded for posterity, he would have done it, that's obviously not what it means. Aaron had a long-lost brother that he hasn't seen for many years, and he hears that he's coming back. Shem gives him the word that his brother's coming back. So he goes out to greet his brother. So in Aaron's mind, he's doing an act which has no cosmic significance. It's a brother greeting a brother. Like, what's the big spritz? If the Torah records it, it's telling me that this wasn't a brother greeting a brother. This was a maisa which was impactful. That's what's recorded in the Torah. If Aaron had understood that his actions are impactful, he would have done it in a much greater fashion, much better fashion. Because if I know that this action I'm doing is something that's going to be recorded for eternity, so this is an eternal action which is changing the world. You do it. You upgrade how you do it. Reuven's saving his brother. Right? It's a personal feud between the brothers, and he's saving his brother. That's all it is. It was recorded in the Torah to tell me that this is part of the eternity of Klal Yisrael. That's how he explains the matter. So the second half of the matter is, so you think that stops after Tanakh is canonized? There's no longer actions which are impactful eternally? That's not true. There are actions to this day which people are doing which are impacting the eternity of Klal Yisrael. But we say that the definition of something which is recorded is because it has a permanence to it. This is something which is eternal. That's why it's recorded. So nowadays, who's recording it? Eliyahu HaNavi is recording it. He's writing it down, and Melech Mashiach signing off on it. That's why he touched the Medrash. So it comes out that the idea that our actions are extraordinarily impactful, while it seems we were doing just seemingly a mundane action, a brother greeting a brother. The Torah is telling me that's how you see it. It's very possible that there's a whole greater layer of purpose and importance which is taking place over here. So everybody has that opportunity. That's tying it back to what Hirsch is saying. Everybody plays that role. The seemingly insignificant act of a great person, the seemingly great act of an insignificant person, the significant act of an insignificant person is not insignificant. Everybody plays their role. The Mishkan Raiders would not have a din of Mishkan, not have the halacha ability to bring down the Shekhinah. They should come Mishkan Raiders, that this is the place where the Rosh Hashanah is as a testimony to his commitment to Klal Yisrael. That will not happen if everybody doesn't play their minimal role that it is. So I think it just raises our purpose and our function to a whole other layer. Now that's one point I wanted to share with you. So, I mean, you can look over here on the page 697 where he addresses this idea that with the idea that everything plays a role, there are still gradations. After it's been shown by the idea expressed by Pekudei Mishkan that each and every part of the wood of the sanctuary was equally essential for it, they are now shown nevertheless to be graded, and these grades to be characterized symbolically. So gold was used for Kaddish, silver was used for the feet of the Kaddish, the capitals, the holders, and the garlands of the columns of the forecourt were of silver, the feet and the, however you pronounce that word, appurtenances of the forecourt were of copper. So there are gradations. And we're going to use items. The total sum of voluntary gifted silver is not mentioned at all because its use was not restricted to the building, to the central part of the sanctuary. Similarly, many of the klisharis, such as the mizrachos for the altar, which only need to be of copper, were allowed to be of silver, were made from this silver. So you could upgrade it if you so chose. That's not necessary. So that's how he addresses the practical consideration. There's always this question that people have. The Medrash says that, Rashi says different actions have, there's mitzvahs which are chomer and mitzvahs which are kal. The Rashi doesn't, it's not magal the schar. Why is that? Because Moshe Tremelech, that he was wanted to plant an orchard, and he told his citizens that they'll get a reward for planting, helping to plant in the orchard. And different trees have different values, but he's not telling what he's not saying what the values are. So people planted different types of trees, and at the end he paid different amounts of different trees. So they said, why don't you tell us up front? He says, because I don't want just to put all the trees of one type. I would tell you that you get more scar for the date trees. I would have had an orchard full of date trees. So I didn't tell him up front. That's the mushroom of the Midrash. As we live in this funny reality, all the mitzvahs are important, and without any one of the mitzvahs, the orchard is lacking. At the same time, some mitzvahs are more important than others. So it's almost this, like, it's funny, because you think about it, like, well, make up your mind. If they're all important, then they should be all be equal. No, if they're not equal, then they're not all important. It's going back to the body. The brain is more important than the arm. No argument. But at the same time, without an arm, the person is missing. So every mitzvah plays a role. Every person in Klai Yisrael plays that role, even though some people in Klai Yisrael are more chashuv than others. So we are comfortable with the idea of gradations, while saying that everything does is important. That is my thoughts.